for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, February the 21st, 2004. Ladies' Conference being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Zip 71903. Cheryl Batts of Lake Hamilton Bible Camp is the minister.
I told her that I wanted that song to be played, and it was she managed to come up with three or four songs all about blessing the name of the Lord before we got to that. And it reminded me of what Sister Mary had said earlier to this morning about the Holy Ghost is that spirit that runs through everything, and whether, no matter what culture, no matter where you are, east, west, north, or south, you can take, I will bless the name of the Lord, and look with how many different ways and how many different tunes we listen to in that small period of time where someone got it in their spirit that they wanted to bless the name of the Lord, and it came out with a different song, a different sound each time, but the words were the same. I will bless the Lord. I will bless the Lord at all times. Hallelujah. I believe that God wants us to move in different dimensions. As I listen to the women of God as they have ministered to us over these last couple of days, what we heard on our first night, that one of our weapons is prayer, and that we have to go from the flesh into the spirit. We have to meditate until we murmur just a little bit as we listen to God to answer the prayers that we have prayed up to Him. And when we are saved, we read in Romans 3:23 that when we saved, we come into more of the glory that was ours in the beginning. You know, it talked about how we lost the glory. But as we are saved, the door opens for us to come back into that glory and get more of it. In this new dispensation that God gave us when Jesus died on the cross and opened the door for us to once again come into His presence. We talked about us and our need, God the Father and Satan, and those three things are forever present as we go to pray. And the woman that went before the judge was persistent until she just got on his nerves, and finally the spirit of fear entered in because she just refused to give up. You'd be surprised, as Sister Mary said before, if you will just remain consistent and steadfast in what you believe that God is telling you to do. Then eventually the Bible says that the Lord will make your enemy your footstool as you begin to stand for Him. Then we listen to Sister Burt talk about praise defeats the enemy. That we have to respect God in our worship. That worship is a lifestyle. It's an attitude that takes on action within itself. And that God honors His word, so we become worshiping warriors. Now I say to you that this day is a good day to die. This is a good day to die. You see, when you get ready to go out to do warfare, whether it is in your home, whether it is on your job, you have to be prepared to die to yourself. So I don't know. I'm a Star Trek fan. I used to watch it a lot. And the Klingons say this is a good day to die. I always find God and stuff, you know. I didn't care. You know, that sounds good. That sounds good. Let's kill flesh today. Amen. Amen. It seems like every one of the women of God that have come to us have said, let's kill flesh. So I think I can be obedient to that. Let's just kill it off a little bit more this afternoon. Amen? Amen. I believe that God wants you to understand that what you have received already is your preparation to become armed and dangerous. You already know the tools. You already know what you have. But then some of you may not know. Because the way that I understand it, armed is to be equipped with weapons or any means of offense or defense, to be fortified, having means of strength or efficiency made powerful or firm. Armed at all points, completely covered with armor. Does that sound familiar? That was Webster's dictionary, but that sounded familiar to me. It had a familiar Ephesians 6 ring. Dangerous means beset with danger, hazardous, perilous, risky, unsafe, as a dangerous experiment. I wonder, let's just take this trip, little side trip. When God was creating us, I wonder, was it an experiment? An experiment in danger. Because he was going to make us in his image, just a little lower than the angels, but with just enough dunamis power to create a little bit of danger. So danger on a bottle or on a person can mean one of two things. It means danger, immediately I'm going to blow up if you make a mistake, or dangerous, don't touch me because I could blow up. I think God has a sense of humor to take dirt and a bag of water, mix it all together and call it man. And then call Satan to be so fearful of us. And that is something we seem to forget, that Satan is fearful of us. You know, and you don't take that lightly. You don't become arrogant with it, because when you are in an army, you don't understand ranks. And you understand that whether this your superior, and he does, the enemy, have control, and he ranks over the earth. But he does not rank over you unless you give him that authority. He can only do to you what you allow him to do to you. To be armed is to be set as in the alarm for a watch, a clock, or a bomb. Arming is a method as to when this alarm will sound. When you set a thing, it is armed to go off at a particular place, a particular time, a particular year, and during a particular event. Think back when you first believed. God had set that day, that time, that hour, that month, and that moment, and that year for the alarm. Danger, danger to go off in your soul, and your spirit man, always being armed, dropped a bomb of dunamis power in your spirit, and the realization came to you that God is real. And with that realization, you realize that he loves you, and that with him, without him, you are nothing. Now that was a mind-boggling realization and a miracle within itself. Because the enemy, if he thought that he knew when your alarm was going to go off, surely he would have messed with your alarm system. Because he had no intent for you to get saved. He had no intent for you to come into the realization of who you are, whose you are, and the power that you have in the Holy Ghost. He never would have done that. There are different times in our lives that God has set us up to be blessed, to be tried, to be strengthened for the spiritual journey. Many times that is called training. There are times when being led of the Holy Spirit by our obedience will cause us to be armed and dangerous. Obedience is dangerous to the world of Satan. It causes trouble. It blows up his plans. It disarms his weapons when you are obedient. The Holy Spirit will let you know of danger, which weapon from the arsenal of God is appropriate for the battle. Obedience, triggered by your love of God, is the dino in dynamite for the enemy. The title of this message, Armed and Dangerous, is a term that indicates action or movement with intent to be careful that something could happen if handled appropriately or inappropriately. It sounds like fighting words, like the military. While in your training mode, your prayer should be to have the mind of Christ. You know, there was a little saying that they made famous, and they put it on everything you can think of. License plates, keychains, T-shirts. What would Jesus do? You know, what would Jesus do? That should be our constant thought. As you pray and ask for the mind of Christ, if your thought is anything, if someone does something to you and you decide that you are going to pray for them as opposed to get them back, and you have such thoughts of seeming timidity, then you know that you are developing the mind of Christ. Because you are making a willful choice not to take things into your own hands, but to allow God to make manifest His Word in your life. So that there will be another miracle performed in what you do, where you go, and how you act, and how you respond to people. And as you do that, your faith is built. Because the more you relinquish to God, the more He can come into your life and do for you what you cannot do for yourself. Because as you do for yourself, you will reach a point at some time when you are going to be operating out of your flesh. And in your flesh, you are no longer armed and dangerous. You are about to just flip out. You become not dangerous. Prayer and intercession will cause you to be quickened to the moves of God, to hear and know His voice. You will then have the heart of God. Your love, you'll love what He loves, you'll hate what He hates. You begin to believe the divinely inspired Word of God is true and that it is for you. At this point, you can rest assured that God is setting you up. Because when you think like Jesus and realize that He is the Word, now, what does it say in John 1, 1 through 4? What is it? Say it all together. We know it. The Word is God. The Word is with God. Right. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, and without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. So as you become more like Jesus, as you pray for the mind of Christ and the heart of God, and you become more like Jesus, you become more of the Word. And the Word will become more of you. And you'll begin to speak more of the Word. Now, I'm not talking about speaking King James English while you're in the middle of an art class with people. The Bible also tells us to have wisdom when we are ministering to other people. Many times you have to be extremely quiet, as Sister Mary said, even when you are talking to people, so you can gauge what your next word is going to be. Wisdom, it takes wisdom to win souls, and that is our primary commission. That is what we're to do. We're to have so much of the mind of Christ and the heart of God that we love what He loves and we hate what He hates, and He loves His people. He loves His people. That's why Jesus came and died, because of the people. Never forget that. It's not your ministry. It's not your car. It's not your family. It's not anything about you. It's for the people that are sitting around you that Jesus came. And it is His desire. Heaven has been made up to take us all in. But everybody isn't going to make it. But you have to be armed and dangerous and prepared and ready, so that when you are around somebody, that you have the mind and the heart of Christ and you can minister to them, and they will be won by the love of God that they see in you. That no matter what they have done, no matter what people have said about them, when they look at you and you look at them, all they can see is love coming from you to them. Because it is not our position, it is not our place to be judgmental over anything or anybody. You once again disarm yourself when you begin to operate in your flesh and begin to judge people and to judge who they are and to judge what you think that they have done wrong. Even when you try to judge it by the Word of God, there's a difference between discerning and judging. When you discern a thing, you discern a devil or a demon. The highest level of discernment is when you discern the heart of man. You can discern that this person has a demon, but God will show you their heart and show you something in their life that has them trapped and held and they can't get away. And all of a sudden you begin to have the heart of God for them and you want them to be free, and you just cannot allow yourself. It just can't help. You just, all of a sudden something wells up inside and you just start loving them. You say, I said, where'd that come from? It comes from the fact that you're reading the Word, and the Word is working in you, and you're beginning to be like He who created you. You begin to operate in the glory of God. You begin to operate in His love. You begin to have the mind of Christ and the heart of God for His people. That's when you are armed and dangerous. It becomes hard not to believe or have faith in the Word when the Word is in you. The Word changes you. The Word encourages you. The Word arms you for any move of the enemy. Once you become armed, in 1 Peter 2 and 9, you have knowledge. And knowledge is something else that the enemy does not want you to have. If he can keep us ignorant of his devices and ignorant as to who we are, then he can take advantage of us and he can disarm us at a time when we need to be armed and ready. 1 Peter 2 and 9. But ye are a chosen race, a royal priesthood. I'm reading from the Amplified. A dedicated nation, God's own, purchased special people, that you may set forth the wonderful deeds and display the virtues and perfections of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Once you were not a people at all, but now you are God's people. Once you were unpitied, but now you are pitied and have received mercy. Beloved, I implore you as aliens and strangers and exiles in this world to abstain from the sensual urges, the evil desires, the passions of the flesh, your lower nature that wages war against the soul. Do you believe that? It says that you are special, set aside. God has placed something in you. You know, when I start to think that God, who set the moon in the sky, who put each star individually into the sky, who set the world rotating on its axis, who created and separated one sea from the other, built mountains and flowers and trees that spread their arms out, and flowers of every different color, thought enough of me to put inside of me and make me in his own image, and to set me aside and invest in me his word, invest in me his son, invest in me the death of his son and the resurrection thereof, is almost unbelievable. See, when you talk about that dunamis power, you know, in the old churches, you know, we're in the old churches, and you're sitting in the hot, and everybody be fanning in them Pentecostal churches, and they get to preaching, and every now and then it's like, huh? Oh, y'all know what I'm talking about. I didn't know what it was. I was like, ooh, what's that? You know, now, I don't know, you know, I won't say that you have to, you know, display it like that, but I get the feeling that that was that dunamis power down on the inside when they got a revelation about how good God really was to them, and they couldn't help themselves. They're like, whoo! What? See, and some people take off running. And if you think about it today and you loose yourself in the spirit and you go to another dimension, you might do it yourself. Because there's a lot of power down on the inside of you. You know? You get behind your closed doors and at home and ain't nobody looking. Y'all ain't gonna tell me. Y'all don't go, hey, yeah, Lord, yeah. Because when I want something, I'm going after God. I'm going after God. Oh, and I know. I know there are some of us that will not do that. All right. It's all right. I do not have a problem with it. As long as you got the power. If you don't display it like I do, it's all right. As long as I discern that you got the power, you can come in my foxhole. Yeah, you know, you ain't got to be like me. It's all right. It's all right. See, I have learned everybody not going to be like me. Everybody don't look like me. Everybody don't express themselves the way that I do. But it does not mean that they don't have the power to stand firm in the foxhole with me to get a job done. And we have to come to a place of realization that it's not how I look, it's not what I sound like, but have you discerned my heart? Have you discerned who I am? The Bible tells us that we need to know those that labor among us. Where do I stand in the Holy Ghost? Who does God call me when he needs somebody that is willing to lay their life down? There are people that need us to get over it so that we can do what God has called us to do. In 2 Peter, 1 and 9, when we talk about the basis of knowledge, the knowledge of knowing who you are so that you can be armed and dangerous. Now, let's go back. We talked about the realization. We talked about spiritual training. We talked about obedience, the love of God, the mind of Christ, the heart of God. We talked about a hunger and a thirst for the Word of God that builds our faith. Now we want to move into a deeper knowledge that will give us even more realization. Because I believe that we read someplace last night that said that grace and peace are multiplied by who you are in Christ. In 2 Peter 1, and let's start up here at 2. May God's grace and peace, which is perfect well-being, all necessary good, all spiritual prosperity, and freedom from fears and agitating passions and moral conflicts, be multiplied to you in the full, personal, precise, and correct knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. Now that's in the Amplified. I like that. I like all of that. That sounded all good. For his divine power has bestowed upon us all things that are requisite and suited to life and godliness through the full personal knowledge of him who called us by and to his own glory and excellence or virtue. By means of these, he has bestowed on us, he has bestowed on us his precious and exceedingly great promises so that through them you may escape by flight from the mortal decay, rottenness and corruption that is in the world because of covetousness, lust and greed, and become sharers or partakers of the divine nature. For this very reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises. What? Adding your diligence to the divine promises. Adding your diligence to the divine promises. Your tenacity, your ability to stand, your ability to know that if God said it, I'm a pit bull and I'm hanging on to it. That is what it's saying here. Amen? For this reason, adding your diligence to the divine promises, employ every effort in exercising your faith to develop virtue, excellence, resolution, Christian energy, and in exercising virtue, develop knowledge, intelligence. And in exercising knowledge, develop self-control. And in exercising self-control, develop steadfastness, patience, endurance. And in exercising steadfastness, develop godliness, piety. And in exercising godliness, develop brotherly affection. And in exercising brotherly affection, develop Christian love. For as these qualities are yours and increasingly abound in you, they will keep you from being idle or unfruitful unto the full personal knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. It will cause you to be armed and dangerous to the enemy. Because you know who you are. You know what your weapons are. You know your boundaries. You know how far you can go, and you know how far you have to pull back. There are times when you have to draw back. But as you draw back, you are constantly listening to the Holy Spirit, who is always armed and dangerous. And as you listen to him, you become armed and dangerous because of your obedience to move when he tells you to move and to go where he tells you to go. Without the Holy Spirit, without your obedience to his word, then you do become dangerous to yourself and everyone is around you. Because then you start flipping out in your flesh and about what you think you can do and what you think you see, instead of what God is saying and what God sees and that he's been gracious enough to let you see. Moving in those things. Hallelujah. Now, we are armed on the inside because of the Holy Spirit. It's like Sister Mary said earlier, the soul, the mind, the will, and the emotions are now lined up with the Holy Ghost. So now you are just about ready to go out and battle. See, because your mind has to be as quick as you are to pull a gun and shoot. See, if one, if your mind is moving faster than your hand, you could get killed. That don't make you real dangerous. And then if your hand move before your head tell you to go, you done shot somebody, and that may be friendly fire. You just shot somebody that God was using as an undercover agent to get you a word to tell you you stink. You have to be listening to God and that that He's telling you to do through the Holy Spirit in order to be armed and dangerous. We have our weapons. So now we understand that prayer, intercession, praise and worship, clapping and dancing and shouting and tongues, applying the blood, binding and loosening, the word, the prophetic, which is Jesus, the Spirit of God, are all weapons available to us. So now we are ready to go to Ephesians 6 and 10. And as we move to Ephesians 6 and 10, that is the scripture that we all know. That is where now that we have been chastened, now that God has taken iron against iron. It's like being a thoroughbred horse. And a thoroughbred horse will run till it passes out without a good jockey. And that's what you are. You're a thoroughbred. You're peculiar. You're set aside. God has you. You are somebody. You are somebody. You are something special. And as long as the devil can keep you deceived about how special you are, you will run till you pass right out. You have to know who the jockey is. Everybody can't ride a thoroughbred. You mean you just can't stand there and let people just climb all over you and climb all over the anointing and tell you who you are? You're supposed to be getting your orders from the Holy Ghost. And He gets His from God Himself. Do you know who you are? Are you letting somebody else tell you who you are and they running all up and down your back and running all over the anointing? Well, I know I come out of too much stuff to let you run over my anointing. I figure if God trusts me with the anointing after all I went through before He pulled my alarm, oh, you in for a fight. I tell you right now, you in for what? For a real fight. Man, woman, child, or beast. Because I feel that if God trusts me like that, I'm going to make it really hard for you. It's, in Revelations it said we are what? We are. It's by the word of our testimony and the blood of the Lamb. You know what I'm saying? And I will fight for that because I know my testimony. I know where God brought me from. I know that God has invested in me. So I will not let a novice tell me who I am. I will not let a novice run over the gift of God. You can say something to me and it'll be totally off. And I may not say anything, or I might say something to you or loose a little love on you and everything. But don't keep it up. Don't keep it up. See, don't keep it up. Don't keep it up because, see, I might stick my hand in my pocket while I'm smiling at you and just bring out a little derringer of oil and just blow you away. Because you're supposed to be armed and ready at all times for the enemy. And he be operating in people. I had a little, my little granddaughter. I don't know what was in the child that day. Some little spirit. I was talking to her father. And she had been outside talking to her mother. And she came in and she looked at me and she said, "Nani." Ding, 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 ding. Oh, honey. Everything in me went, "Jezebel, not." Oh, no. Not at that age you're going to put your hands on your hips and come at me? Oh, no. No, 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 no. I was like, wait. You know, I had to grip myself. I said, wait a minute. And I thought about a family line. I thought about the curses on the family. See, because I was like, you know, I was like my nose was flaring. I was pawing in the belly like a war horse. And she said, "Nani." I just turned my head and I looked at her, and that's all I did. I just looked at him. And she said, I just bound her up and she just forgot what all she was getting ready to say. Because, see, I would not take the authority because of her mother. But if had it been just her father and her father and mother, my son and his wife were lined up, I'd have cast it out right then. But I didn't have that authority because of the way their relationship is. So I just bound her up. And then later on I gave a little hug and everything. But I wanted her to know, you will not come to Nani like that ever. See, I know that that spirit is a horrible spirit, and it operates much too freely among the women of God. And it is a spirit that has been sent to kill and destroy our families, our homes, our churches, our men. See, she'll start using that spirit on her father. She'll start using that spirit on her brothers just to get practice. So when she get ready to go to school, she's going to start using it on everybody but Nani. Oh, and just give me a few more years and we're going to take care of that. You have to be ready at all times and have wisdom in what you're doing. You need to be armed and dangerous. The enemy needs to know that you listen so clearly to the Holy Spirit that it is no telling what bag you might come out of at any given time. Because if you think that he's going to send you an SOS message that he is coming from the left, what devil are you fighting? So I don't plan to give him any leeway at all. I want to constantly be ready. I have visions of myself in the spirit. You know, I watch those, the Terminator. You know, he got bullets across here and bullets across here and there's a gun in the back. And then if they lock him up, you know, and everything, he lean over and he got a knife down in his boot. You know, I mean, you got to be thinking about that. You know, it's funny. But you have to be that ready and that prepared and that smart. They are trained for war. And God is trying to train us to be armed and dangerous with the tools that he has already given us that have been proven tools of effective warfare that will not fail when you are handled through and with the Holy Spirit. That's it. And you have to, that's why I say you have to know those that labor among you, because some of us are undercover agents in the business world. We're out in the marketplace. There are others that are just in-your-face soldiers. They're out in the streets. They're out doing missions work. And they have to have a certain look and operate a certain way. These guys are ready. They all tattooed up. They've been in and out of hell 3 times. So you have to know that you know that you know that you're not judging someone, but that you are discerning by the Spirit of the living God who is in this army with you and where you are going. I know that we have mean girlfriends and bad bosses and wild children and cold husbands that are not our problems, because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and high places. So you can't allow your flesh to drag you into being mad at somebody that has done something to you. You have to realize who you are, and that the one thing the enemy is always after is your testimony, and he's after the gift. He's after the gift. Whatever gift you have, that's what the enemy is after, and he's going to do everything he can to get the gift. So don't get all beside yourself that you all that great in a bag of chips. Just remember, you are peculiar, you are set aside, you are wonderful, you are beautifully and well made. But it's the gift that the enemy is after. He wants to take your joy, because if he can take your joy, you'll stop fighting. He wants to take everything inside of you that God has given you to war, to fight for the souls of his people. Ephesians 6. Now we're ready. We're thinking good. Mind's clear. Intercession on time. Read the word. Prophetic operating a little bit every now and then when God give it to you. You're about ready now. You're about ready. Let's see what Ephesians says. Now, Ephesians said in conclusion, be strong in the Lord, be empowered through your union with him, draw your strength from him, that strength which he boundless might provide, which his boundless might provide. Put on God's whole armor, the armor of a heavy armed soldier which God supplies, that you may be able successfully to stand up against all the strategies and the deceits of the devil. For we are not wrestling with flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents, but against the despotism, against the powers, against the master spirits, the ancient ones, you know? The world rulers of this present darkness, against the spirit forces of wickedness and the heavenly supernatural fear. Therefore, put on God's complete armor that you may be able to resist and stand your ground on the evil day of danger. And having done all that the crisis demands, to stand firmly in your place. Stand, therefore, hold your ground, having tightened the belt of truth around your loins, and having put on the breastplate of integrity and of moral rectitude and right standing with God, and having shod your feet in preparation to face the enemy with the firm-footed stability, the promptness, and the readiness produced by the good news of the gospel of peace. Lift up over all the covering shield of saving faith upon which you can quench all the flaming missiles of the wicked one. And then, see, I was listening to that. I was like, wait. Think about it. Let's back up. First of all, it says, stand firmly, dig in, having the belt of truth around your loins. You get up in the morning, girls. There ain't supposed to be no men in here anyway. You get up in the morning, girls. So y'all, okay, y'all after this. Okay. You get up in the morning, ladies, right? Okay, you get up and you say, okay. Standing firm. Your girl, put your girdle on your loins. See your loin up? Because out of your loins, what comes out of your loins? You birth things out of your loins, right? You birth things out of your loins. You birth things out of what comes out of your mouth. What are you birthing out today? Are you birthing out encouragement on your family? Are you running late? Get your clothes on. It's time for school. Or what are you birthing out on these kids before they leave home? You know what I'm saying? So you got to get up. And you got to girdle up your loins and protect, you know, girdle and get that all together and everything. That's the first thing that you do. And then the second thing you do is you put on your breastplate of righteousness. Oh, yes. You put on your breastplate of righteousness. So, hallelujah. You got to protect your heart. That's right. Y'all just gone on out. Somebody told me it was a woman's conference. The breastplate of righteousness to protect my heart. For out of it flow the issues of life. Okay, so I want to protect my heart. I want to protect my heart from them little evil girlfriends that I know I'm finna run up on my job. Soon as I hit the door, they ready for me. So I have to be armed and dangerous and ready for them. Amen? Amen. Thirdly, I shod my feet in the preparation of the gospel of peace. Don't forget, 2 Peter talked about grace and peace being multiplied. When you walk in grace and peace, the devil gets awfully mad. Because he can't mess you up. He can't trigger your alarm then. Because you're walking in grace and peace, you know who you are. And you see him coming. Your peripheral vision is working real good. And you see that he's coming. But it's okay because, see, you shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. You wear the right shoes for the right place where you're going to be going. If you are not going to be sitting at the head table receiving an award, you're going to wear the right shoes so that you can do battle. Because if you got on the wrong shoes in the battle, your mind is on your feet and how bad they hurt. So you got to have on the right shoes for the right battle. You know, you got to listen to the Holy Ghost and tell you what shoes to put on that day. Because there are some times when you just see the enemy coming in just like a roach. Praise the Lord. Good morning, how are you? And then there are other times when you got to have on those shoes like the Roman soldiers with spikes in it. And you know there's about 5 or 6 of them laying around. And you know you don't get it on one step. I mean, the snakes, it's like a nest of snakes. And you say, Lord, is this my battle? I don't like snakes. Are you finna get them snakes? He said, no, this your battle. Okay. All right, I got to get on the right shoes. So you get in the morning, you put on the right shoes because you know you're going to deal with a lot of snakes today. So you put on the right shoes and you pray up a little bit more extra. So when you step down, you kill about 5 or 6 snakes. All in one, just rock on it. You know, he said he hit the ground with the arrow 3 times. Not me. I don't like snakes. And I don't want nothing coming back after me. So when I step on it, I'm stepping on it 5 or 6 times. I learned my lesson from the word. See, when I said, uh-oh. Praise the Lord. I want to make sure that one doesn't come up again. Now, I might have another one, but that one, I don't want to see that one again. You know what I'm saying? Yeah, make sure you step on it for more than three times. All right. And I just, you know, I mean, I just came to me as I was reading it. I said, wow, he's talking to us. That's how you put our clothes on in the morning. Okay. We got the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet. Ah, the shield of faith. Oh. You name it, it's in that purse. Okay? Oh, yeah, me. See how right where I'm going. Oh, yeah. What you say? What you say, devil? What? Ooh. My name is Zena in the spirit. Oh. Oh. Oh, I'm ready for more. You know? She thinks she's so much. Oh, she ain't nothing. You see them shoes she got on? Yeah, I heard she was getting a raise. But, you know, she ain't all that. I heard she down there at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp preaching. But, you know, she ain't got no husband. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. So you gotta be armed today. Because he don't care where you coming from. He don't care nothing about starting to lie about you. He just wants to stop you. Because he knows you're armed and dangerous. Now, that's how we quench the fiery darts, you see? And I was just amazed. The last thing that we put on is the helmet of salvation. Now, you know, those of us that used to wear hats, the last thing we put on was the helmet before we went out the door. The outfit looking good, and you put on the wrong hat, you just blew the whole thing. What kind of hat are you going to wear to work today? You know, I just take advantage of everything. That cultural thing in me just gets carried away. See, so I might have a red wig on one day. And then someday I have, it'd be curly. It'd be like Bernadine's. It'd be all over the place. And then another day you see me, it'd be looking like Crystal. It'd be all down my back. It just depends on where I'm going. You know, what I got to do. You know how many them little knives you can hide up under your hair that's really low? Lord, I know that girl didn't say that about me. Bless the Lord. Bless the Lord. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I'm really doing warfare when I put the red one on. Oh, boy. I tell you, some days I hate to tell y'all this, but some days I wear it for meanness. Well, I just want to see sometimes, you know, I want to see just how many white women are going to come up to me and say something about that red hair. Now, if they was in Northern Chicago, they wouldn't say nothing because, see, they see it all the time. But they're in Hot Springs, and they can't deal with it. They just got to come and say something to me. I think it's funny. I'm, like, laughing. I'm like, they don't even know who they're talking to. This ain't about nothing. Now, let me witness. Oh, girl, you look 10 years younger. Oh, thank you. How are you doing? How's John? Really? Really? Did what we prayed about last time, did that work out? You know, so I just listened to the Holy Ghost, whatever's going on. You know, I put my little helmet on, I come out.
You got to be armed and dangerous. You got to be ready. And you got to understand, God loves us so very much. And he wants us to be light and airy. You don't have to be all that serious all the time. You just have to be sober-minded. You know what I'm saying? Sober-minded does not mean that you are so serious can't nobody be around you. You're so heavenly bound, you ain't no earthly good. You got to be able to laugh at yourself and laugh at how you see yourself and realize that I'm just not all the way fixed yet, but it's all right. I'm not as bad as I used to be. You know, some things you just don't let people deal with you on. You know, you just know that you know that you know that you know. And you go on and do what God has told you to do. So now we are dressed up from the inside out. We have come to that place. Oh, man, I got on my helmet of salvation, my breastplate of righteousness. I have my armor. So now I'm ready. I am now armed and dangerous. So now what we have to do is begin to understand that when you are in that mode of being armed and dangerous, there's certain terminology that you need to understand. Certain things that tell you who you are. And when you're in the foxhole and you use this terminology that everybody knows, it's time for war. It's time to be serious now. It's time to focus on what God wants us to do. It was time to pray before you came to the conference to ask God to make sure that you get a word of freedom and deliverance. Because your deliverance depends on you, not me. You have to be willing to let go of your pet demons. Oh, you know the ones you like, them shopaholic demons is really bad. So I have a few of those left myself, but God fixed it. I don't have a whole bunch of money anymore, so the shopaholic demon is dying. It's a good day to die. You know, it's a good day. So I told myself, that's all right. I don't need nothing. I got plenty from last year. It's a good day for that one to die. I don't need it. Bless the Lord. Hallelujah. You know, so some of them you got to get rid of. So we know that we have been separated, 2 Timothy 2 and 4, to set or keep apart, separation. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. There's a total separation from the world and there's holiness. We are God's battle axe and weapons of war against the enemy. Jeremiah 51 and 20, we are his godly horse in battle. Zechariah 10 and 3. Characteristics of the war horse is seen in Job 39, 19 through 25. Strength, fearlessness, fierceness, rage, and discernment. He smelleth the battle. The Lord teaches us to war in Psalms 144 and 1. Our spiritual heritage from the Old Testament is one of warfare. The Lord is known as the Lord of hosts or the Lord of armies. We are here to abolish, to cut off, to strike through, as it talks about in Ephesians 2 and 5 and Isaiah 2:18. We're here to beat down, to beat, to bruise, to violently strike, to crush, to destroy, to discomfit, to break down by violence and to dismay and terrify the enemy. And it talks about that in Judges 9 and 45, 2 Kings 13 and 25, Psalms 18 and 42, Isaiah 27 and 12, and Jeremiah 46 and 5. We're here to break down, deliver, break, rend in pieces, crush, destroy, to spoil by breaking in pieces, pluck down, pull down, ruin, beat down, cast down, crumble, bruise, to hammer, to stamp, to strike down, to dash in pieces, and to disperse. Exodus 34 and 13, Leviticus 26 and 19, Psalms 2 and 9, 10 and 15, 58 and 6, 72 and 4, Ecclesiastes 3 and 3, Isaiah 45, 2. Oh, it's on the tape. Jeremiah 2 and 4. Daniel 2 and 40. To cast down, to tear down, to break down, to destroy, to overthrow, to pull down, to subdue, to throw out, to throw away, to hurl, to pluck, to cast down to hell. Go where Jesus tells you to go, devil. Oh, yes. To cast out. Meaning to occupy by driving out the previous tenants and possessing their place. To seize, to rob, to inherit, to expel, to impoverish, to send away, to push down, to cast away, to banish, to eject, to send out, to throw out. Looks like the sound of it. See, that's supposed to be your terminology when you pray. You know, you casting down vain imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of Christ. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You want to chase and pursue. See, you want to run after the hostile intent and put to flight to pursue and persecute. You don't want to always be running. Ain't no armor back here. You want to be running. You get up in the morning putting him in his place by beginning to pray and loosing your angels so that he stands in abeyance every morning, not just some morning. Ain't you tired of running? We was running before we got saved. We didn't know where we was running. We were just running. Trying to get to something, but we didn't know what it was. This is not the time to run. This is the time to pursue after and strike down more than three times your enemy till he is dust. David said he was going after the enemy until he was dust. That's how you know he ain't coming back. You lose confusion and you confound the enemy. That is to be ashamed and disappointed, confounded, confused, bowed to confusion and put to shame. You know, when you lose confusion in Satan's camp, they get all confused and they go running back giving orders like, well, we started out after them, but they started to pray in tongues and we got confused. See, then they get confused because their whole setup is based on rebellion and lying anyway. And they try to get you to buy into it. And when you buy into it, you become like them. So you become disarmed and not very dangerous. But as you begin to hear and do what the Lord tells you to do and you lose confusion on his camp, then you become the aggressor. You begin to take back that which belongs to you. To consume, to end, to consume away, to destroy, to make clean riddance, to eat up, devour, burn up, to contend, to grate, to anger, to meddle, to strive, to stir up, to grapple, to defend, to chide, to rebuke, to hold a controversy. You want to cut down and cut off. You want to destroy. You want to cut asunder. You want to destroy, put an end to cease, to utterly destroy, to make a clean riddance, waste, make accused. Tear down, be down. You want to drive out and you want to expel the enemy out of your life and the life of your family. Amen? So as we have now on all of our armor and we begin to understand that these words that we have just spoken of, these are words that are military words. These are the words that you use in prayer. You will find them in the Word of God. And I believe that Sister Mary said and also Sister Berta said that we have to pray the Word back to God because he honors his Word. So it's no shame to pray the Word of God back to him on your enemy. When you are just like a woman with the jars and you're tired of fighting the same thing and somebody owes you something and they will not give it to you, then you have to keep after it and remind God that he is your husband. He is Ish. He promised to provide for you and to care for you. And say, you know what? I stopped praying for money because sometimes the favor of God is better than money. Oh, some of y'all are scared of that. But it is. Sometimes the favor of God is better than money. And you know why? Because it may be easier for you to believe in the favor of God than that $280,000 that you need. That's a big figure, you know. And you might not be able to believe God for $280,000, so just believe him for favor. Say, God, I just believe you for favor. Somebody just going to give me something. Somebody just going to give me that house. Somebody just going to give me that car. Somebody just going to give me what I need because I don't have the money to pay the bill if they don't give it to me anyway. So I believe in you. Because what God has in store for you, what God has for you is better than anything you can think of anyway. So just go ahead and die. It's a good day to die. Let God have his way. Let him give you what he wants to give you, and you will be far better off. Amen? Amen. Amen, amen, amen. Father, we just praise you. We give you glory and honor. We thank you for this time together. We thank you for your word, God. We thank you that you are King of kings and Lord of lords. We thank you, Father God, for the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness. We thank you for the shield of faith. We thank you that our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We thank you, Lord God, that we are armed and dangerous. We thank you, Father God, that our weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God, through the pulling down of strongholds. We thank you, Father, that we are casting down vain imagination and every high thing that would exalt itself against the knowledge of Christ in our lives. We thank you, Father, that it is not by power, it is not by might, but it is by your Spirit, O God, that we stand before you, O Lord, and we ask that you will pour out your love and pour out your anointing, pour out your deliverance upon us, God. That thing that is on the inside of us that torments us, that keeps us from being, Father God, aggressive for the things of God, that causes us to be ashamed, Father God, to cry out to you, God. For you are the only one that can cause us to be in a place of perfect peace. You will multiply our peace. You will multiply the grace, God. We ask you to multiply it in the name of Jesus, that we might stand in the face of the enemy without fear. We praise you, God. We give you the glory, Lord. We thank you, Lord, that we are beautifully and wonderfully made, God. We thank you, Father, that you teach our hands to war and our fingers to fight, God. We thank you, Father. We give you praise, O God. We thank you, Father, for Jesus and the work that he did on the cross. We thank you that he sits on your right hand and intercedes for us, O God. We thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, who was sent to lead and guide us into all truth, God. Lead and guide us, Holy Spirit, into all truth of this afternoon. Where will you have us to go? What would you have us to do, God? This is like a smorgasbord, God. Many people need many things, God. I decrease that you may increase, God. Give them what they need. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit, come. Rest upon your people, God. Rest upon them. Set them free, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. We come against the spirit of fear, of making wrong decisions and rejection, being hurt, judgment, authority, fear of failure, fear of man, fear of darkness, fear of being alone, fear of death, fear of witchcraft, fear of heights, fear of demons, fear of deliverance, fear of losing their salvation, fear of disapproval. We come against you and release the spirit of faith, hope, and trust in God. In the name of Jesus, we come against the fear of accusation, the fear of being wrong, the fear of spiritual gifts, the fear of responsibility, the fear of marriage, the fear of having children, the fear of pain and sickness and confrontation. We come against the spirit of fear of cancer, the fear of driving, the fear of insanity, the fear of heart attack, stroke. We come against the spirit of fear of the future, fear of crowds, fear of horror, panic and fright, fear of sudden death, fear of terror, fear of dread, fear of apprehension, and fear that causes torment. We bind you off the people of God now in the name of Jesus. Mind-blocking, mind-blending, mind-blending spirits, loose the people of God. Come out of the minds, come out of the will, and come out of the emotions now in Jesus' name. Oh, we loose the angels of God to come in and to drive you out. Angels do warfare in the heavenlies, pulling the wheat from the tare, that the women of God will be set free, that the women of God will have understanding, that the women of God will understand your word that says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not to thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he will give you peace. He will take you where you need to go. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Father, we thank you. We thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We come against the fear of authority. The fear of authority. We come against it now in Jesus' name. Fear of germs. Fear of God. Fear of hell. Fear of insecurity. Fear of Jezebel. Fear of judgment. Lord God, fear of man and fear of being rejected by man. We come against you now in Jesus' name. Manifest and go. Come out of the hearts of the women. Come out of their souls, the mind, the will, and the emotions now. In Jesus' name, we apply the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, and drive you out in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Oh, bless the name of the Lord. Father, we praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. For there is none like you. There is none like you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, rabasanda roshe li rio sandara rabasa. I korabasi li rio sandeya. Hure, sikiri rio se. Randi di Dio senda i riosa. Resti chiedi di Dio sandi di Dio se. Randi di Dio se la riendo i riassata. Randi di Dio se la riendo i riassata. Chi randi di Dio se. Mandi di Dio se. Ha ha ha. Raha. Socorrete. Non dei accoriata. Nandi di Dio si. Cai di Dio sa. Ya ha. I di Dio se. Nandi di Dio sata. Resti che la rodobossata. Nana di Dio sa. La torre. Hey. Casse se coromata. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. For I, the Lord thy God, have laid the table before you, and I have given you my word, my preached word, by my servants here in these 2 days. And I expect you to eat thereof and to be full. I expect you to get your energy, and I expect you to get your nourishment from my word that has been ministered here. I expect that you will cry out to me even in the quiet times, and I will bless you. I will bless you with that you have come here seeking. For I am not a man that I should lie. I promised you before you came that I would love you. I promised you before you came that I would set you free. But don't look for it to come the same way, the same time, and then the same place. For I am a God that is different. Even though I am the same today, yesterday, and forever, the way that I'm coming in this last dispensation will be different. I will come in a way that will be different from the way that you are used to. It will cause you to buckle under my word. It will cause you to seek my face, because even the elect shall be confused. Even the elect shall be taken under. So hear my word. Study my word. Know my word. Get rid of all of that is keeping you from your relationship with me. I will take it because I am God. I am your Father and I love you. If you will give it to me, you will not have to see it again. As I did with the Egyptians, I will kill them and you will not see them again. But you must trust in me. You must roll it over on me, and I will destroy the enemy in your life. But you did not have a chance to come here this weekend. You came because I've been calling you. I have been wooing you. For you are my children. You are my daughters. You are my daughters of Zion. And I have saved you for just such a time as this. I have placed you in this place. I have placed you in the places where you come from. You have been my hidden agenda. And I have worked in you a special work. And I will continue to work it in you until you are full blown and manifest on and dangerous in me. For I am your Father. I am God. I am he that sits high and looks low. But I have searched your heart, and I know the very hairs of your head, and I know that you have sought me, and I will feed you. I will not allow you to starve. I will not allow you to go hungry. I will pour out my love upon you. I will pour my wisdom upon you, and you shall be in these last days a threshing instrument in my hand. And I will use you against the enemy. But you must trust me. You must read my word and have understanding. I pour out upon you today a thirst and a hunger for my word. As you read my word, it will become like honey to your lips. Do not think that it will be a strange thing as you begin to read the word and it feels good and it sounds good and it sounds different to you. It is me. It is me. It is me, saith the Spirit of the living God. Do not stop it. I'm coming for you because you have cried out to me. I shall pour out on you as never before, because I love you. I love you with a love that you yet to understand. You are my loving ones, and I cried out for you. I have interceded for you to my Father. I have told him of my love for you, and because you are in me and I am in you, we are in him and we are one. So do not forget whose you are. Do not go back the same. Do not go back thinking that life is going to be the same. For you are armed and dangerous. You are the one that will change things around you. Continue to pray. Continue to seek my word. Continue to be on your knees and seek my face. Said the Spirit of the living God. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Jesus, there is something about that name, Master. like the fragrance after the rain. Jesus, let our heaven and earth proclaim kings and kingdoms, they'll all pass away, but there's something about that name. Jesus, there's just something about that name. Master, Savior, Jesus, like the fragrance after the rain. Let all heaven and earth proclaim, kings and kingdoms will all pass away, but there's something about that name.
Father, we just thank you for your presence. We thank you. We love you, Lord. We love you just because of who you are. We love you because you first loved us. We love you, God, because you prepared a place for us. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your deliverance for your people. God, you love us so much. Father, we ask you right now, in the name of Jesus, to cover each one right now, that your word has fallen on good ground, that your prophetic word will be remembered, and that it shall do the work in the hearts of your people that you sent it to do, God. We ask you to bless them, to bless this house, to bless the overseer of this house, to bless those that work in the kitchen, that work in the office, to bless those that work on the ground. Bless them, God. Bless them with deliverance and salvation, Father God, for those that are unsaved living on this ground, God. Bless them, Father God, with revelation, knowledge, and understanding of your word. Bless them. Now, Father, we ask you to bless the food, Father God, and bless the hands that prepared it. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.